Well, let me just read a few scriptures. You can turn. Just going to review a little bit here. I think you can turn over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. But I'm going to read a scripture that we're familiar with, Psalm 119 and verse 130. It says in the King James, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And some of the Amplified says, "The entrance and unfolding of your word." So that to me is revelation. God's the one who unfolds and reveals in his word the truth of his word. So that as he unfolds that, light comes, revelation comes, faith comes. And so the more we feed upon it, the more that we understand his will. We can just read something, but it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal something in God's word. Many people, saved and unsaved, pick up the Bible and read it and go, "I'm not getting anything out of this. I don't get it." We've heard that. "I don't get it." You may have even thought that. I'm not understanding this. But you have an aha moment. That's where faith comes. You see it. And faith comes, revelation comes, and you get something, and that's the time we're to act upon it, once we see it. So faith comes, or revelation comes, by allowing it to come into our hearts. And so we're going to take some time here, and we know that there's two points we're talking about here. When we talk about knowledge, you know, there's two types of knowledge. There's knowledge that we get in this natural realm, and we talk about it, and we call it sense knowledge or intellectual knowledge. That knowledge is something that's gained through or appropriated by these five physical senses, something we see or taste or touch or hear. But then there's revelation knowledge, something that comes from God. And so that is the kind of knowledge that we're looking for. We're looking for something that's revealed from God. So we understand his will. We know his will. And so one of the things that the world struggles with, and sometimes Christians do. Well, the world doesn't know. Maybe I'll rephrase that. The world has no clue about God's will to heal. It's the world that's clueless. The church, a lot, if they don't feed on God's word, then, you know, I heard somebody put it this way: big God, little problem. Big problem, little God. You see, what do I mean by that? That when you're faced with an issue or a problem, if you don't have enough of God's word in you, then it looks overwhelming. It looks like it's impossible. And we know that we read in Luke 18, "For those things that are impossible for man are possible with God." And so it's good to know, you know, when we're talking about healing, when people are faced with issues in life, that, you know, usually some of those things can take a hold of your heart or your mind and can be overwhelming. Somebody can get a report, and you know, take the wind out of you, as they say, take the wind out of your heart and your soul, and all of a sudden, is the question becomes: is that issue bigger than God? That's the key. So if we know the will of God, and we know that God is greater than he that is in the world, then we can see our way through this. And I always qualify that because the scriptures say, "My sheep know my voice." And so it's always important to know the word of God, but then don't get in the ditch either when I say, don't exclude being led by the Spirit of God. Don't exclude. You know, we read the word of God and we feed upon it. It is forever settled in heaven, but don't exclude having the Holy Spirit lead you. A lot of times God is warning us about things, and of course there's nothing impossible with God. But sometimes people put themselves in situations where their health is concerned when God's been trying to get their attention for years to go get something checked or correct something, and they ignore it. They ignore the prompts. They ignore being led. They just go, you know, get thee behind thee. I'm just going to have another piece of pie or whatever that is, right? Or I'm not going to do this or that or whatever. And they just ignore it. And then 10 years down the road, it's a problem when it could have been corrected. And God knew that all the time. And he was trying to get us to make those corrections. And we didn't. We ignored them. See, so what I'm saying is nothing is impossible with God. But sometimes people put themselves in some very, very difficult conditions and life-threatening conditions because they ignored these leadings from God. And so it's always important that it's both. It's feeding on the Word of God, but it's being led by the Spirit of God. And you might say, well, how do I know if I'm being led by the Spirit of God? Well, that's another lesson. He said, those that are his sheep know his voice. I can tell you one thing. The devil ain't going to tell you to go to the doctor. He's trying to destroy you. If anything, he'll tell you, you don't need to do that. So always, you know, always remember that natural doctors, for the most part, if they're honest, have the same objective. They're trying to get people well. And so is God. So it's important that if you get a prompt, go get something checked. Go get something checked. Just go get it checked. You see. So it's important to know, is it God's will to heal? And is it God's will to heal everybody all the time? Not just some. Because if it's only God's will to heal some, you know, we ask this question, how do you know you're that one? See, you could never have faith to believe God will heal you unless you're that some special one. See, it's God healed all during his ministry. Jesus, God healed all through Jesus. So Jesus healed all. So it's for all the time. Otherwise, you couldn't have faith in God to heal you because then he'd have to tell you, it's your time. It's your time. Today's your day. No, every day is your day. Every minute of every day is your time. See? So we know, how do we know it's God's will to heal us? It's in his word. And so that's where we want to kind of pick up and start here in Romans 12, 2. When it's in the King James, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we know the word of God, when we know the will of God, we can prove that. We test it. Some scriptures say we test and prove what is the will of God. Ephesians 5:17. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Amplified, I like, it says, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. You see, the Message translation says, don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. So how do we know what the Master wants? It's in the Word of God. And as we feed upon it, then we'll know what his will is. There's a scripture in Hebrews that's good to meditate upon. Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6, well, I'll start from 13. Hebrews chapter 6, I'll start from 13. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." Now, verse 17, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the" who? "The heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, that confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Now, some of the other translations, the New Living, it says in verse 17, "God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie." So here we know from Scripture that we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus. So here he's talking about, for those who receive the promise, we're those sons that receive the promise. And so for us, God's will is settled. We don't have to, you know, it's interesting. We don't have to ask. When I say we don't have to ask, God's already provided healing. He's already given it. We don't have to ask him to do something in my body or your body that he's already done. We just have to do what? Say thank you and receive it. Believe what he's already spoken in his word and do what? Receive it and say thank you. You know, if somebody reached out their hand and said, "Here," what do you say? "Please give it to me." The hand is outstretched. Take it. You say, "Thank you, I receive my healing." But I don't feel anything that changed. It says we're to do what? Receive and call those things. Faith receives something not seen, expecting it to be. What is that? What is that? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my faith receives something not seen. What does that mean? In my body, if something's going on in the natural, it is sick. But I receive something that's been settled. He already bore my sicknesses and carried my infirmities. And by his stripes, I might be healed. I was healed. So if I was healed, then I am healed. Is God not trying to make me sick? It's the devil who's the one who came to do what? To steal, kill, and to destroy. He's the oppressor. He's the one that's trying to make me sick. I'm the one that have to receive what's already been done. So I have been healed. If I have been, then I am. And so I have to receive that by faith. Right? Now, I want to touch on something this evening. If you would, turn over to Proverbs 4. I know we've been looking at this, but I want to look at this from a different aspect here. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20 through 23. And we know this, God's word is medicine. It's health to all of our flesh. And Proverbs 4, now just think about this, God's word is for who? Everyone. God's word is for everybody. If it's for everybody, then healing is for everybody. That's as simple as you can get it. Because if healing wasn't for everybody, then the word wouldn't be for everybody. And Jesus wouldn't have died for everybody. But he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And so he died for everyone. How God so loved the world that he do it. He gave his only begotten son. So he died for everyone. That means his word is for everyone. That means healing is for everyone. I mean, if we just get that simple, something will knock on your door, you say, no, that's not for me. I don't receive that. So Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 20, says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart. I want to notice this here. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, or your heart, are the issues of life. Now, this word health, at least in my margin, it's the word medicine. So this here, it says, for they are life, the word of God is life to those that find them, and health, the word is health or medicine, to all of our flesh. Let me read this from the New Living. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Let me read this from God's Word translation, verse 23. It says, guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of life flows from it. The Amplified, let me read that. It says, my son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Let me read the complete Jewish Bible. This is verse 23. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. The Good News Translation, verse 23, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Now, let me read this. This is what I wanted to look at here this evening. The New English Bible, It says in verse 23, guard your heart more than any treasure. Boy, that's a big statement. Guard your heart more than any treasure, for it is the source of life. What's the source of life? Your heart. And so, we've said this a number of times, if you take enough of God's word long enough, it'll heal you. If you take enough of God's word long enough, it will heal you. You know, the doctors will tell you that. If you take this medicine and you just keep take medicine, what do they do now? Take this antibiotic for usually 2 weeks. That's what I hear anyways. Yeah, or whatever. They tell you to take it. They have their protocol, whatever that protocol is, and we'll check up on you. So why don't we give God's word the same kind of respect and say, take enough of it long enough, and if you do, it will begin to do what? Change my body. It'll affect my body. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. So we need to give God's word the same due, the same respect, at least, my goodness, as you do your medicine, if you're taking it. I'm not certainly telling you don't take your medicine. Please take your medicine if the doctors have prescribed that. But you know it can change. The word of God can change its life and what? Health to all your flesh. If you just keep taking the word of God and listen to the Spirit of God, listen to Him. Be open to be directed by Him. What do I mean by that? Be open to make corrections. You know, we all know His voice. I'm telling you, I heard His voice in 2000. I'm taking a shower. I had been in pain a year. Now, I was standing. I had locked my teeth, spiritual teeth on the Word of God. I wasn't budging. I'm serious. I wasn't budging. Through pain, I sang, and I was in extreme pain, couldn't sleep, and there was just all of this turmoil going on in here. It was extreme pain. And I said, I've got this. I'm healed. And I walked through it for a year. And I remember standing in the shower. This is what I'm telling you. I could have missed it big time. Standing in the shower. And I wasn't meditating on that per se, but I heard a still small voice right down here. He said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That was in July. So I'm telling you, I make light of it, but I did. I was standing right there under the shower, and I went July, August, September, October, November, December. That's 6 months. And I didn't do a thing because I just said, I'm healed. But then after 2 weeks, I said, I didn't say fool. I said, that was the Holy Ghost. You better go do something. So I did. Started on a path. First, I went to the emergency room, and they did their stuff. And then I went to a gastrointestinal person. And all through that process, I'm listening, I'm sensing. And this guy, I just said, you're an idiot. And it didn't feel right. You know what I mean by that? You just go to somebody and it that diagnosis didn't sit right. That's why I say, when you're confronted with something and they're firing off stuff at you, you better be sensing down here whether what they're telling you is the path for you to take. because it can be life or death. And I was not settled with it. I wasn't. I just said, no. And I ended up going to a complete different direction, which is what I needed. It was a nutritionist, chiropractor. And he said, I'll have immediately. One was negative, talking about all kinds of negative, negative, negative. This person said, first words out of his mouth, he said, I'll have you turned around in 2 weeks. And my expression must have been like, what? 2 weeks. I've been walking through this for a whole year. 2 weeks. And he looked at me. He was funny. He was in his 70s. He said, boy. That's the first word. He said, boy. And I'm like, he's calling me boy. I guess to him, I was a boy. But he said, boy, he said, you know how many of these things I've done in my career? I said, no, sir. He said, over 2,000 or 3,000 of these. Well, he had my ear. And he just took me off food. He said, I want you to eat pureed food for a week. I said, okay. I said, doc, I'm going to waste away to nothing. He said, don't worry, you won't die. You'll get enough nutrition. So he told me, he said, do you know your stomach will heal in 5 days if you don't put any food in it? I said, no, I didn't know that. So he said, you just stop. And I'm telling, just like that, he was the right path. When he started talking, it was like, oh, it felt right. This the right, this the path, this the path. That's what I'm talking about, that we cannot ignore the Holy Ghost. In a week, he said, you're 80% there. 2 weeks, it had all starting to soften up, my stomach, everything. It was like a rock in pain. So I asked him, a couple months down the road, I said, hey, doc, I said, how bad was this? He said, if you had waited one more week, they would have opened you up. And I knew when he said that, that would have been it. Because one thing would have gone to something else, to something else. See, the Holy Ghost knows. That's why I'm saying, feed on the Word of God, but be open to have Him tell you, make this correction, do this. If something doesn't feel right in your spirit, don't do it. Sit on it. Wait. He'll lead you into what? Life and peace. And victory. Amen. So let's go back here and let's look at this again. Proverbs 4. I want to look at this again. Proverbs 4, verse 23. What does it say? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Now, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And we're talking about keeping your heart. You know, a lot of times, what's going to sustain you? What's going to keep you? What does it say? Keep your what? Your heart. Keep your heart. Not your mind, keep your heart with all diligence. Now look at Proverbs 18, verse 14. I want to look at this here. I want everybody to look at this in whatever version you have. I'm going to look at this in the King James and the Amplified and the New Living, but I want you to look at this. It says what? The spirit of a man, what? The spirit, we're talking about the heart. The spirit of a man will do what? Will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? The Amplified says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. This is the Amplified. Let me read it again. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. but a weak and broken spirit who can raise up or bear. So what's going to get us through physical attacks? A strong spirit. Amen. Listen to this same verse in the New Living Translation. Boy, I tell you, I love this one. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear it if the spirit is crushed? See. So what are we talking about here? That a lot of times, if we're not feeding, what does it say? My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So God is saying to us, we can walk through some of these things and sustain bodily injury and different things and infirmity if our spirit's strong. Because if your spirit's strong, you won't get discouraged. And that's what we see a lot of times in people that have had an infirmity for months and months and months. They get to a place where they're what? Tired. I'm just tired. I can't take this anymore. I just want to go. I want to go home to be with Jesus. I'm tired. What happened? Their spirit became weakened. And they just decided, I can't do this anymore. But a strong spirit, see, this is what it said. The human spirit, this is a New Living, the human spirit can endure a sick body. In the King James, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So what can happen is if we're cruising along, not feeding on the word of God, bang, something hits, then all of a sudden, it can throw you for a loop. And you're walking through something, and the faith that you should have to stand is not necessarily there. You see people saying, would you pray for me? Pray for me. Pray with me. Get an agreement with me. We do. We will. But my question becomes, are we doing what the word says, which says, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What did that say? And I like the New English Bible. It says, guard your heart more than any treasure. So we have to then weigh, is this more important? Is my TV show more important? Is this more important than feeding on the word of God? Because at some point, you know, you're going to be faced with some infirmity in life, possibly, and it's going to require a strong spirit. It's going to require a strong spirit. And so I just share that we need to think about that. Another thing, just think about this here. You know, we talk about a spirit being strong. Use a natural example. People in the medical field, we know this, or if you read any health articles, you know this. Today, we have more information available to us. But your natural body, just in the natural, if your immune system is strong, then when these bodies got a lot of germs and stuff going on in it. You just walk through and touch stuff, you're exposed to germs. You're exposed to disease. But your immune system, if you eat well, you get good sleep, your immune system is built up, you eat right, and what does it do? It fights off things that you didn't even know about. It just kills it. It's done. You didn't even know that. Why? Because you had a strong immune system. Same thing in the spiritual side. If your spirit is strong, it will fight things that confront you. It will help you to fight against those things that come. See? But if your spirit is weak, then it could be a problem. Could be. So we need to think about that. Proverbs 14, let's look at this. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. Talking about the heart. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Proverbs 14:30. It says, a sound heart is what? The life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. I like some of these other translations. The Hebrew Names Version translation, it says, the life of the body is a heart at shalom. Well, I like that. When your heart is at peace, it's sound. It's strong. It's at peace. It says, the life, this is the HNV, it's the Hebrew Names Version. It's the life, this is what it says, the life of the body is a heart at shalom, but envy rots the bones. So when your heart is at peace, that means it's a sound heart. You're not in anxiety. You're not in doubt. You have wholeness. You have shalom in your spirit. The New Living Translation says something similar. It says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. That's what the New Living Translation says. It says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer to the bones or in the bones. The New International Version, it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. So that's why it's important to keep our hearts sound. Feed upon the word of God. Let it not depart from thine eyes. Keep it in the midst of our heart. But also, keep your heart at peace. Don't let anxiety and angst into your heart, because it can affect you. I mean, even now, medical science is beginning to see more the importance of the heart of man, the spirit of man. I mean, usually, what do they tell you? I've heard doctors say this. If this person has a good attitude about this operation, most times they'll come through it successfully. But if they've got a negative attitude about it, they've got some idea about it, you know, then a lot of times they have a hard time. But if they have a good attitude about this, they'll overcome. That's a strong spirit. They just don't equate it the same. What does the scripture say? We just read that. It says, what translation was that? I'll read it here. I think it was the in Proverbs 4, it says here, the Good News Translation, verse 23 of Proverbs 4, it says, be careful how you think, your life is shaped by your thoughts. So if you think you're going to have a problem, this is what the doctors are saying now. They say, look, people that have a good attitude about something are usually going to be a success, you know, in their opinion. That's a strong spirit. Their thinking is right. Their heart is at peace, right? They're trusting in their God. See. What's another scripture verse that we're all familiar with? Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart. A heart that's at peace. A merry heart is what? Doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I like the New Living. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Yeah, that's exactly right. Now let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, talking about keeping a strong spirit, keeping it built up on the Word of God, keeping it fed on the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. I'm going to read it from the King James and then also a more modern translation, the New Century Version. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now, what does it say? Nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, or faith and of a good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. What does it say? Nourished up. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Now listen to this in the New Century. If you have it, if you got an electronic device, you can look these things up. The NCV, it's the New Century Version. I tell you, this is good. It says here in 1 Timothy 4, 6, by telling these things to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. You will be made strong. Talking about a strong spirit. You will be made strong by the words of the faith and the good teaching which you have been following. How are you going to be made strong? By the words, the Word of God. Your spirit is going to be made strong. Hallelujah. So how do we get a strong spirit? Just the same way we do with these bodies. How do you do it? Eat right. You can't expect to have a strong body and have saltine crackers. You've got to eat something. You've got to exercise. You can't just drink water and expect you're going to have a strong body. It's going to become weak. Maybe not initially, but it'll take a little time, but you just eat liquids and do something, you're going to, at some point, when called upon to do something with this body, you won't have the energy. You won't have the strength. Same thing. You might be going along in this body of yours with this spirit, and everything's fine. But then you're called upon to do something spiritually or confront something spiritually, and you don't have the strength spiritually. But you didn't realize it until you were called upon or had to confront something or do something spiritually. Same thing with your body. You might be going along fine. Everything's fine. But then they said, well, let's run down over here, and you're huffing and puffing. You can't even walk. You can't even get up the stairs. Something that's, your body now is saying, hey, I got to, and your body's going, wait a minute, what are you asking me to do? Because you haven't been eating right. You haven't been exercising. Or you're just eating junk food. Now all of a sudden your body needs to exert some energy that you don't have. See, same thing spiritually. And you won't know that you're deficient until you need to exercise something spiritually, just like you need to exercise something naturally. Right? You won't know. And sometimes it's too late. It can be. Because you're behind, as they say, you're deficient. And now you're trying to play catch up. And that's not a good place to be, is it? What does the scripture say? Matthew 4:4. It says, man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. So here, I'm going to close with a couple of scriptures here, but just think about this. What does the scripture say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're talking about a strong spirit. I can do all things through the word which strengthens me. Christ is the word. So I can do all things through the word of God which strengthens me. Right? Now let's look at Matthew 13. I want to just take a look at this and wrapping up here. Matthew 13 and verse 22. This is the parable of the sower. But I want to look at this in the light of how we're looking at the scriptures today about maintaining a strong spirit. In verse 22 of Matthew 13. And of course, we know there were four types of ground. And this particular ground here is talking about ground that had thorns and thistles. But what does it say here? He also, verse 22 in the King James, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that what? Heareth the word and what? The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches does what? Choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. So here's the point. Sickness can be a care. And if you let that care of sickness get into your heart, it'll choke the word. So we need to make sure that we maintain a strong spirit to confront that and say, no, that's not for me. I don't accept that. I don't receive that. You may be walking through something, but it's how does one maintain a strong spirit? Feeding on the word of God, not letting the cares in. See, because that's what this is saying here. The care of this world. Sickness and disease could be a care, and it is for many. What am I going to do? Oh my God, the doctor said this. You let that care in, it'll choke the word of God, and it becomes unfruitful. It won't produce. See? That's why it's important. Let's go back and say, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them, the word of God, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are what? Life unto those that find them, and health and healing, the Amplified says. Health and healing. To what? All my flesh. So I can't afford to let the care of something enter in, because it will choke the word of God and the fruitfulness of God. It'll cause me possibly to make other choices. What do I mean by that? I'll start thinking another way. I'll start talking another way. I've let the care of that in, and I start thinking. That's what we just got done reading. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So if I let that care in, I begin to then meditate and think upon that. And I start talking differently. You see? Well, maybe it's not God's will. Maybe, you know what I mean? Just whatever comes out of my mouth, I can do what? Cause the word of God to become not fruitful. It won't bear fruit in my life. And this is all looking at this in the same thing. Still means that if I need to go to the doctor and get a checkup, go get a checkup. But you don't place those things above the word of God. You still are doing what? It's the natural, doing the natural things that you may need to do. But also maintaining a strong spirit, maintaining your heart right, so that I'm not letting the care of something come in. Maintaining a heart of peace and shalom, that God is walking me through this. God's word is working in me. Not letting thoughts of doubt and unbelief work against the word of God and get in my heart. It'll choke the word. It'll choke the word. See, we can't afford to do that. See, so I just share that, and you know, if we need to make adjustments, make adjustments. Keep your heart strong. You know, with so much going on today, you know, and today with the news and being bombarded with the news, I mean, there's so much going on. You know, they got now, what is this virus from China and all of this stuff going on? My God, I mean, if you feed on that and you let the care of that in, you won't go outside. You won't do anything. But you've got to have that same, you know, it's just like when you start reading some of these stories about, you know, just think about it back in the early, was it the late 1800s, early, I think it was the 1900s, early 1900s with John G. Lake. They had the bubonic plague and he was over in Africa. People were dying. People were dying by the thousands. And he was over there and they said, How are you staying alive? He said, the life of Christ is in me. And he said they had reporters from America come over and just trail him. Look what he said, they documented. They said some person was dying and they had this bloody flux coming out of their mouth. He said, take that and put it on my hand. Look at it under a microscope. Now that's pretty bold. You better know that you know to take a disease that can be contracted by putting on your skin. He said, put it on my skin and look at it under a microscope. He said, when it touched his hand, it all died. What was that? The life of God. The life of God had permeated him so much in his flesh. From where? His spirit. He maintained a strong spirit. But he didn't get there overnight. See, we weren't just born again and have a strong spirit. That means we have to do what? Keep feeding, keep feeding, keep meditating on the word of God. Keep feeding, and it'll do what? It'll cause this body to walk in health and healing. And so that's a lesson for all of us, because we all can get busy. We all have responsibilities. We all have things to do. But we can't do them at the exclusion of feeding on the word of God. We cannot. Right? Praise God. So maintain a strong spirit. Maintain a strong spirit. How are we going to do that? Feeding on the word of God. Feeding on the word. Amen. Praise God.